Nerd Soul.
Yeah, late LK at one youngster holding it down, bringing that street geek and nerd soul. What is up, my people? Today, oh yeah, coming with another wonderful episode of That's Right Specials and On Screen. We are getting into some newfound information. Some stuff it's new to some people, not new to everybody. But before we get started, right over here, amazing international man of leisure.
Leisure. It's pronounced leisure. Yeah.
Jason Reeves, what up?
Hey, what's happening, man?
Chilling. So, yeah. Earlier today, you posted up a link from, what was it, Yahoo?
It was Yahoo, but I think the actual article is from Esquire's GQ. There you go.
Yeah, GQ. And basically, you know, you were talking about how, hey, sometimes you just got to state it plain. Mm-hmm. And John Boyega, you know, has basically said that Disney was using his race to market Star Wars, but then sidelined his character in the sequel movies. We knew that, but it's interesting hearing it come from his mouth because, of course, we know, you know, you in the industry, you know, you got to kind of just take things because you ain't got the power. But power can check power. And right now, things are shifting. And it's interesting, especially Disney, who, you know, continually pats itself on the back.
Right.
But, you know, Disney has been caught up in this. And I'll say my initial thoughts is, wow, I never expected to hear this from you. Mm. But I do like your more, you know, aggressive energy out there, my player. I do like it.
Right.
Jason, please, what were your initial thoughts when you saw this?
I felt rumblings about it for a while. Like, mm-hmm. after the Black Lives Matter protests, where he kind of, like, it kind of galvanized him as, like, a figure, you know, like a pop culture figure of the time. Yeah. I felt like he was going that route. Like, in interviews, he would say a little tidbit, and then he'd back up a little bit, you know, especially...
Give him a little jab, then...
Right. You know, so, yeah, but today, I guess, or whenever they did the interview, I guess it dropped today.
So the interview may have been, say, a month or so, maybe more ago.
Right. But he decided, you know, let me drop a paragraph on y'all. Let me drop a couple paragraphs and tell y'all what's really real. And I applaud him for it. You know, I wish that actors were a little, like, creators in general were a little more candid about that kind of thing. Yeah. Especially for not just me, it's entertainment for me, sort of, but like for the younger kids coming up, for the younger generation, they need to hear the real. So
they don't get caught up in this mess.
Yeah. So they don't get caught up in these situations where it's kind of like, oh man, I need to be quiet and I need to go along to get along kind of deal. You know, they need to know that, you know, your elders went through that.
You know, and, Hove did that. So you didn't
so you
have,
don't
to, go
have
that.
To go through that. Exactly. So so yeah, I think he stayed at playing. You know, shout out to Robert Roach, man. My big artistic brother from another mother, stayed at playing, man, and he did it. He stayed at playing. It was refreshing to hear.
Yeah, there's a quote, one of the quotes, because there's a couple, but one of the quotes says, like, you guys knew what to do with Daisy Ridley, you knew what to do with Adam Driver, you knew what to do with these other people, but when it came to Kelly Marie Tran, when it came to John Boyega, you know, F all, that's what he said. Then right. Followed it up with saying, so what do you want me to say? What they want, what they want you to say is, I enjoy being a part of it, it was a great experience. Nah. I'll take that deal when it's a great experience. They gave all the nuance to Adam Driver, all the nuance to Daisy Ridley. Let's be honest. Daisy knows this. Adam knows this. Everyone knows. I'm not exposing anything. That... yes.
Straight up.
Because, because Disney knew if we put a black face on the very first frame of this new Star Wars, we'll get the black Twitter engine rolling. We'll get all that black algorithm, all that black algorithm juice for us. And we'll also get all of the mad fanboys to also talk about us. We will be the most talked about thing for the next whatever. And when they showed him holding the lightsaber, they talk about a bait and switch on us. I ain't going front. When, you know what I'm saying? When the first movie happened, I was like, all right, cool. He had the lightsaber word. Maybe him and Rey going to be the next, you know, the next two students.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Episode 8 come out. And my brother is basically on like a treasure hunt and that's it. While everybody else gets to do cool stuff. Like,
right.
And don't get me wrong. I like the lesson that he learned out there of like, do you see war happening here? Do you see? And it's similar to, I think Gary Vee said, it don't matter who's the president. It ain't going to stop me from getting money. So you have this certain demographic of people. Let's say 1%. You have this certain demographic of people.
Only one?
Only one? But it doesn't matter who's in charge. They're not feeling hurt from it. Also, they're selling weapons to everybody. That's how they made their fortune, off of your death. So that was a cool lesson to learn. But you didn't stick on that lesson. Y'all didn't stand on that lesson. You didn't reveal that lesson. We had to kind of like pull it out of the movie. You didn't make it as plain as you make the light and the dark, as they spent so much time with Daisy Ridley.
Right.
And then in the last, you know,
ultimately that was a lesson that just faded away. Like they didn't bring any of that back up, like in the next movie or anything like that.
Yeah. And once again, in Rise of Skywalker, he's basically like, I'll lead you through this, but I'm not going to take any shine. I'll just, hey, let's go over here. Let's go over there. And we end up in a situation where we were tricked into thinking, yo, we had a black hero.
Right.
And
absolutely.
We didn't. We had yet another black sidekick that was there to like help you get to point B and then kind of like fade off.
Right, right.
And a lot of people are mad about that, or have been mad about that. It's one of those things that when I watch the movies now, I'm just like, you know what? It is what it is. Ain't nothing I can do about it. The movie exists. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Whatever. But I like the fact that he brought this up. And then even Yahoo said, you know, in the first teaser, Force Awakens, released in 2014, John Boyega's mutinous stormtrooper, later given the name Finn, is the very first image on screen. So everybody was like, yo, black people were getting black Jedi t-shirts, all kinds of stuff, because Disney knew what they were doing.
Man, I was excited, yo.
Yeah, me too. Excited. I was like, what?
And it was like, Boyega, yo. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's relatively fresh off Attack the Block, and we're waiting on him to come and swing that lightsaber, like, you know, let's do it. I think so. Looking at the concept art and looking at the concept art book, their initial idea was two Jedi. And one was more like Han Solo-ish. One was more Luke Skywalker-ish. And that was Rey. And then the Han Solo was supposed to be Finn's character.
Yeah.
And they were going to have...
But they were like, journey. He's black, so...
Well, and that's... seems like kind of what happened, like when they decided, oh, we're gonna make this Finn character black. We gotta play him to a little bit to the left now.
And it's funny because on top of playing him to the left, I remember, I think Lisa brought it up, or maybe I brought it up to her. We had a realization in The Force Awakens. there's a moment when Chewie tells Rey that we came back because he made us, or he told us, or whatever, talking about Finn. And they run and hug each other. And Lisa was like, was that supposed to be a kiss moment?
Probably.
Then again in episode 8, it's like, was that supposed to be a kiss moment? When she, you know, lifts the rocks, moves them out the way, and they run to each other. I'm like, ain't nobody that much of friends.
Well, first of all, my biggest problem, now you're getting my black up. My biggest problem.
Because it's like, it's like not only do you play him left, but then you play him as like this sort of impotent guy. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not here. Holding the flag for, you know what I'm saying? Look, hey, you found the right one in Rise of Skywalker. I'm going to just say that. But all I'm saying, I'm not campaigning for that. For all my sisters that's up in here, all I'm saying is kind of pushing that like impotency of like asexual kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Flaccid asexual black characters is what Hollywood does. You know, Hollywood does. That's what they do to us. And that's what gets me upset because, okay, you have theoretically a straight black man who's supposed to be third lead in this entire franchise. And what they're alluding to, in my opinion, the whole time is he has an attraction to Rey. Now, they never she don't ever really show any real want for him. But on his end, he's like, where's Rey? Rey! Rey! You know, like,
he be screaming, I mean, Rey like it ain't nothing.
Cat got out of a coma and the first thing he did was look for Rey. You know, so he clearly wanted to be more than her friend throughout throughout the thing until Rise, and then they kind of switched it a little bit. But so I think in the initial stuff, those characters were supposed to get together. If they were smart and they wanted to be, you know, a little more progressive, what they could have did, I mean, I know there's the whole Finn and Poe thing, and I think if they wanted to be really, like, on it, they could have did that. But if they wanted to be, you know, this is Disney, so if they wanted to be a little slightly more progressive, what they could have did was a lot love triangle between Rey, Finn, and Kylo, and Ben. And it would have been like, Rey's in the middle, the light side's pulling her, and the dark side's pulling her. And they could have been three Jedis, two Jedis and one Sith.
Because in Rise of Skywalker, when he's like, I got something to tell you, I think it could only be one, I have the Force, or two, I love you. That's the only thing I can think of.
And also, so the Force awakens, the first person you see on the film is the black man who's awakening the Force. Also, most of his actions throughout is what drives the plot in The Force Awakens.
Yep.
It's almost like
originally he was the lead, and then when they casted a black dude, they were
the lead. Right.
Yeah.
so what my issue is with those movies is, one of my biggest issues is, every time they let his leash go, they pull his leash right back. You know what I'm saying? Like, he awakens the Force, or the Force awakens within him, and then, you know, I was a janitor. You know, like, I was so pissed off with Force Awakens, because we get him, he turns into a good guy miraculously. It had to be the damn Force. I don't know why they were fronting on that.
Because of that. And they made the Force sound and everything. Like, so.
Well, he's shooting, like they say in the novels, he was this crack shot and he was this amazing soldier, but they didn't put that in the movies. No. So, in the movie, it looks like the Force is leading him. They get out of the enemy ship, and he's like miraculously killing all these dudes. Like, that's like the Force. Like, he's a great shot. It's the Force.
And you can't do that if you work nothing but sanitation, my dude. Like,
right. Exactly.
And I don't mind him working sanitation, but you can't have some dude that's like mad nice with the tools, son. Like,
right.
But he's like, how did you learn this? Oh, well, I learned it mopping the floor.
that's a part of my gripe, right? So as soon as he does that, it's like amazing at this point. We're like, oh yeah, Finn is about to go down. They get to the planet. What does he do? Some step and fetch stuff where he drinks from a trough. He's so thirsty. Ha ha ha. Look at a black dude drinking from a trough. And yeah, then he goes to get Rey. And the first thing she does, he's like, hey, Rey. And she's like, don't touch me. And
then yeah, knocks him out. That whole sequence, I think I get what Disney was trying to say and what Lucasfilm was trying to say. Like, I'm a woman. Hear me roar. I can do it on my own. But it also comes off as like, well, fine, I won't help you then. Like,
it doesn't have to be at the expense of the other minority character, though. Like, they could have written it in a way that was funny, but at the same time, like I wouldn't have written that. Like, when he went to her, if he's the lead and he's the main, and we're in this culture of, like, Black Lives Matter and Me Too, and, and that, you know, that we're in the midst of this culture, I'm not writing a scene where the black dude grabs her and says, hey, you, I gotta help you, and like, I'm gonna have him say, come here, hey, I don't wanna, you know, whatever, but this is the situation. And then she's like, what are you talking about? You know, like, that's the way you write that scene. And then like, they start to have, as they go along, they start to have a mutual respect for each other. It's like, it's this push and pull of archaic, progressive, you know, like, and I don't really like the, it really annoys me to no end that movie. Like, so then he does, then he gets hooked, they hook up with Solo, and you know, they fight those monsters or whatever, and Solo tells them it's all true, everything's true, and you know, we gotta go talk to Leia or whatever. And then they go, and they're about to be rebels. They're about to be the cool people, the new cool people. And then he's like, I was a janitor, yo. I was like, what? All this let him
there's
go.
So many Pull other ways. There's so many ways that he could know the schematics or be able to gain the schematics
of Starkiller Base. He could have helped build Starkiller Base. He could have
been there. They learned about the schematics in cadet school or something.
Right, they forced you to learn the schematics of the base. You helped design it. You helped build it.
We did a tour on my station there or something like. Tons of things. Like,
or I live there, or I'm one of the guys who works in that particular room. You know, all that stuff, man. Like, but they made him a janitor because it's funny to have the black dude be the janitor, right? That's hilarious. All these jobs in the universe.
Poe Dameron.
The one black dude is a damn janitor.
Meanwhile, Poe Dameron, who effectively is operating as white in this story. I know people are the current. Let's be for real. He's operating in this story as a white man.
He's not Guatemalan. He's not Guatemalan in this story. No.
Thank you. So stop it. Before you even get here, we know what we're dealing with.
Right.
Homie commits a mutiny. And actually, nothing really happens.
Don't get me started about that part of the movie.
Because, you know, a lot of my friends, I thought it was bad, but I was like, in my mind, I kind of reconciled it as like, well, look, they ain't got but so many people, so I guess they had to let him go. But then my friends that either served in the military or family members that served in the military were like, no, bruh. That it don't matter if it was only two soldiers. He would have been locked up.
Well, so here's the thing.
And I know they're a rebellion. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, you just look at that juxtaposition of like, this dude is doing mad heroic stuff. And his, you know, reward for writers is he gets to be a janitor. Then this guy is doing heroic stuff and then actually turns on his own people and creates a mutiny, like a mini civil war on the like one of the last boats they got or ships they got. And his reward is to be able to lead everybody again.
So Poe's character. All those
people that died at the beginning. Uh-huh. And don't get me wrong, I do like that ship sequence when he's shooting out all the guns and stuff. That's cool. Uh-huh. But the bottom line is, he got mad people killed when they could have just dipped. All right? Yeah. They could have just bounced and been out.
Poe's character, it again, talking about the concepts for it, Poe's character wasn't even a character from the jump. They extended
the character. He was supposed to die early. Movies.
Yeah, he was supposed to die in Awakens. So they just basically shoehorned a fourth character in there for no reason. So, you know, that's why you have stupid mutiny stories and, you know, I mean, they didn't know what, they shoehorned him in, but then they didn't have a plan for him at all. It was weird. It's like the weirdest thing.
This times, and not to say that I don't like Star Wars, I do, but there's times when you're like, I shouldn't feel like I can do a better job than you guys.
Yo.
Like, okay, perfect example. Conversely, now this is a TV show, not a movie, but Star Wars has had TV shows. I don't think I can do a better job than Lovecraft Country right now. I don't think that. They might go slipping on the next 3-4 episodes. I don't know.
They're not going to slip. Now, don't you put that evil on them.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just saying, now with these 3 episodes, it's stuff that I like, stuff that I'm interested in. I don't think I could. Star Wars could, on the other side, I'm like, I think I could have handled this better.
I'm
a writer, but I'm not a writer. I'm a writer, you know, for myself and others. You know what I'm saying?
You play one on TV.
I'm only bigging up my brother. No.
I can come up with a better plot than our ship is slightly faster than their ship, and we're running out of gas. Like the slowest space starship chase scene, a 2-hour starship chase scene where they're both slow. Come on, man. My son could write a better plot point than that. Like, that was.
But see, what they do is they hit you with those. They got hot moments. That's what they do. But back to John Boyega, I salute him for saying this. I salute him for kind of like stepping into an arena where not many people are stepping, or they step in and they say dumb stuff. Like, you know what? I ain't even going to put. This man, there's certain people, bald-headed people, unfortunately, you know what I'm saying?
Bald-headed people, I want to know who you're talking about.
That's stepping into the arena.
Into the arena.
And trying to represent black people, and don't nobody need you to say nothing.
Oh, but, no, I don't even know who you're talking about.
Your boy, Mr. Cruz.
Oh, bald head people.
Yeah. Your bald headed. Shut your bald head up.
Man, right? Look.
But
hashtag defund Magic City.
This fool, bruh. This fool said something about magic. I'm like,
you know
when you like looking around for the point when you like
hashtag Black Love Matters, defund Magic City,
either A, you looking around for the point, or you like wash your face. And what I mean by wash your face, somebody say something, you be like, okay, that's not the point of what's going on right now.
I'm going to say it like this. He got a lot of accolades for speaking up about his harassment, and I think that kind of ballooned or snowballed into, I think I'm the person that needs to speak up for everything, except his values on harassment seem to be more on point than his values on like everything else.
This fool said Black Love Matters. I'm like, I mean, yeah? What?
Why Black Love and Magic City can't exist at the same time?
I'm like, what is going on?
So are the people in Magic City the ones that are in the Black Love? Because
maybe what he's saying is it's like breaking up relationships or something. I'm trying to understand this fool.
But if you in Magic City, are you trying to be in the Black Love? Like necessarily? Like do the two things work in conjunction?
Maybe what he's saying is like if you in love,
Don't go to Magic City.
Yeah, because it's going to, like, lead you astray. Ah, man. Man, I don't know.
I mean,
dude is stupid.
It could totally happen, but at the same time, like, is that Magic City's fault or your fault?
Yeah, take your butt home. Yo, you know, I just watched for the first time Fatal Attraction a couple days ago. I knew the references for the rabbit, but I'd never seen it. So Lisa was like, let's watch it. This whole movie would have never happened if they did what I say all husbands should do. Just take your butt home. If he would have took his butt home, the movie wouldn't have happened. It would have been like, she would have been like, I canceled my date for you. Well, that's nice, but gotta go home. Credits. No, everything would have been fine. Take your butt home, watch some TV, and go to bed.
Defund Magic City takes the responsibility away from me, though, right? Like,
well, yeah, that's true.
I feel like Terry Crews does stuff, and like my wax stepdad used to say, when you're pointing a finger at somebody, three fingers are pointing back at you. And I feel like, as wack as he is, you know, broken clock is right twice a day. I feel like that's a good quote for Terry Crews, because when you telling me about something about Magic City and porn and porn addictions and stuff,
is that something you deal with, my brother?
You the one that had the porn addiction, so you stay out Magic City, homie. I'm good.
Nobody asked you. Nobody.
The same thing. Like when he's talking about, you know, I used to be intimidating my family, and you know, I thought that was what a man did. Yeah, that was your issue.
You went to therapy for that.
Don't be pointing the fingers at us, yo. Deal with your things.
Once again, why I tell people, because we'll see, you know, our brothers and sisters, especially on Twitter, fighting over stuff celebrities did. Celebrities are not a gauge or any type of example of the everyday black man and woman. They're not. You know what I'm saying? What Cardi B, I'm just saying, she even didn't count it, so we ain't count. What Meg Thee Stallion is doing is not what I believe every other black woman is doing. No, she's a celebrity. She lives a different life. I'm not going to try to put her, like, blanket her activities on all black women. Also, I'm not going to take someone like Terry Crews and say all black men are like Terry Crews.
Please don't, because we ain't.
Because black men out here trying to qualified immunity, you know, defund these police so we can live and just be alive and just not have to worry about people. That's what we try to do. We try to make sure that nobody calls the cops on us in the middle of Central Park and does an Emmy or Oscar routine to try to get police to come out for us. That's what we trying to do. We are not worrying about some Magic City. Dude just be bringing out stuff. Like, people getting killed by cops, and this fool will bring up, like, black-on-black crime. And I'm like, this fool is going to try to equate civilian violence and state-sanctioned violence. But anyway, with all that said,
right.
John Boyega, salute you, bro.
Salute, man. Like, that was the breath of fresh air we needed, man. We just lost Chadwick, you know what I'm saying? We lost the king, and, like, we need that, man. We need Boyega. Yeah. It seemed like every time, Boyega be right on time, yo. Because, like, last time we had Miles Morales was up there talking crazy about BLM and Rosa Parks and all
Boyega
that.
Boyega
came through for us. Like, you know, it started to become a trend. Like,
Miles Morales, lucky it's just his voice. That's what's going to allow him to slide. Because if this was live action, I think it'd be a lot worse for him.
It's gonna be hard for me to let that slide when it comes through on the second round. It's gonna be hard, man. I might have to fight myself on that one. I don't even know.
He's young, man.
He's a young dude.
Well, here's the thing. Just let's talk about women on the women's side. You have Alexandra Shipp. You have Zendaya. All right, Alexandra Shipp. She be saying dumb stuff. And I know she young, but so is Zendaya. You don't see her saying that stupid colorist stuff. Like, you don't see her saying that stuff.
True.
Acting like colorism don't exist. Zendaya don't do that. She like, yo, I know it exists. Alexandra Shipp acting like it don't exist. It's like,
Shorty. I get the notion.
I know you're young, but Shorty.
I get the notion that Alexandra Shipp is not unaware of colorism. At that particular instance, it felt like she was just being selfish about it. Like, yo, I got to eat too. And I'm down with that. Well,
I'm cool with that, but just say it. Don't pretend like colorism ain't real.
I want you to eat, but this is not the moment for you to express that need, right? You need to go home, go ahead and let people do what they do. Because people saying that you shouldn't be Storm, that didn't negate you being Storm twice. You still got paid. So you can relax. You good. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And the idea that you were going to get the Marvel gigs, the Marvel Studios gigs, come on. Come on.
Get out. Yeah, when she did that, we turned around one more time like, hold up. See, we told you to sit down. similar to Raising Dion. Like, when I did my review of Raising Dion, I was like, look, all right, there's two things. One, yes, colorism is real, and this is not the even close to the example we had in the trailer.
Yeah.
But I also understand she's just an actress taking a job. The problem is with the studio and the casting directors, because we can't jump on the person that's at the end of the line. So I do understand that, but then when you never saw an old girl open her mouth, neither. She didn't open her mouth like, "Yo, colorism ain't real. I just need my job." She didn't say that.
Thing. She knows. Hopefully, she knows that her getting a job and the idea that colorism exists and people, you know, are talking about it. Those two things don't have to clash. You know what I'm saying? Like, we want you to get your paper, sis. And in my opinion, I thought she did a pretty decent job as the mom. Like,
my problem with her was, I don't think it was her. She was written, I feel like half of the story she was written like a mom, and the other half she was written like an older sister. And I was like, where are you going with her? Because, like, responsibilities and stuff, it feels like she's a big sister sometimes, and then sometimes it feels like she's a mom.
Young moms are kind of like that, though, at the same time.
Yeah,
like,
okay, you know what?
She was a relatively young mom. Like, I don't even know if she was supposed to be in her 30s in that. You know what I'm saying? I felt a realness to her portrayal of Dion's mom. I mean, obviously, colorism exists, and I would have loved to have brown skin, dark skin, like across the board, more brown skin, more dark skin, you know what I'm saying? Like, all day, every day. But I'm not gonna begrudge the sister, because, like, you're saying, it's
she's at the end of
at the end of the line, and she black too, and she gotta eat too. So I understand that. As long as you don't start talking crazy,
aka Alexandra,
correct.
When she started talking about the Marvel Studio joints, we was like,
come on.
Nah.
Come on. Well, when does it ever work like that? I think maybe the only person who successfully transferred over to like older Marvel joints or other studio Marvel joints is Captain America, right? Am I wrong about that? Yeah. In the comments?
And we might in the future, depending on what happens, we'll probably be able to count Ryan Reynolds. I don't see them recasting Deadpool.
But that's
still, what, two people? There might be there might be a third, but it's not like it's happening every day. There might be a third we're forgetting about, but
right. But like Cap is the only dude I can think of right now that like successfully transferred over.
Yeah. And he wasn't Cap before. He was
He was Human Torch before. Yeah, yeah.
So it's like,
people complain about light skin Storm, and then those movies are not as revered as they could have been.
Yeah, because it's bad. It's a couple things. One, she's light again. Two, the movie's not good. right, hey, she's not good in the movie. So it's like it's like all these things came crashing down.
I've never seen her
that she wasn't really directed well or written well. So I mean,
I've never seen her X-Men movies. Like I stopped. I was forced to watch Days of Future Past. My homie was like, "No, you come and see this with us," and I was like, "But I've never seen Dark Phoenix." They like me to crap on movies that I don't like.
Dark Phoenix, they
like me to have a vein coming out of my head, you know?
The funny thing is, Dark Phoenix, if you just watch like the first, say, 15 minutes or so, you're like, mm-hmm. I don't see what everybody's mad about. Uh-huh. and then joint started to like... It's just like... I'm okay because I watched it at home, so I'm cool.
Uh-huh. right. I mean, eventually one day I might be like, let me see how stupid these movies are, and then watch them. But I just couldn't bring my... Like, I love the X-Men. I'm an old school X-Men cat. Jim Lee and Chris Claremont era is like some of my favorite comics of all time. And those... From First Class on down, like, I will say, the first three X-Men movies are, like, I can't really go back and watch them, but I didn't hate them, like, from First Class on down. Like, First Class really, I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it. It's like, they went from a pale imitation to the X-Men to not the X-Men at all. I was just like, I can't do this anymore.
The only thing that was cool probably was like Magneto's storyline, but outside of that, I was like, it's not a bad movie, but it's not really First Class either. It's like a good movie that's not X-Men.
Every one of those movies is like, it starts off, Magneto is like, done with everything. I'm done with all of this. I don't do this anymore. And then they're like, but Magneto, help us. And he's like, okay, Charles. And then he's like, ha ha, betray you. You know, like every single movie.
Anyway, well, guys, that's it.
Right.
Holla at us. We'll holla at you down in them comments. John Boyega, we down with him. But we knew Disney was like that. Trust me, all these companies now that's so cool with black people, just a year or two ago, didn't care nothing about all them other people that got killed. Look on Twitter and see if you saw anything around when, you know, Trayvon Martin or Eric Garner or Tamir Rice, any of these, nothing. Now, right. You know what I'm saying? So Disney, Lucasfilm, them ain't no different. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm like, look, it's a very important time. Get all you can get out this moment. Keep protesting. Do whatever you got to do, because this moment may not last.
Pull their feet to the fire, too. And build your own. Yeah. Build your own studios.
Yes, build your own. Tyler Perry
style. Build your own studios. Make your own short films. Do that.
Yeah, because especially if you've learned anything from the words of Joe Budden these last 2 weeks, you know what I'm saying? You know, you gotta build your own. Make sure you control your own stuff.
Right.
Because then you can tell people what you're gonna do instead of them telling you what you know you gonna do. Or you got
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
So, of course, right here, Jason Reeves, tell them where they can find you.
The hub is 133art.com. Come over, buy some comics. I got comics for the kids, got comics for the adults, got comics for the teenagers. But also, we run a distribution service called BIC Distro, and we sell comics to bookstores, comic shops, retailers all around the world and the country and everything. So bigdistro.com, 133art.com. Holla at your boy.
Yes. Get them comics. And NERDSOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all them places. Hit that thumbs up. If you like what you see, hit that thumbs down. If you don't, but you hit that thumbs down, I'm going to send John Boyega after you. All right. He don't play. He down with us. So, of course, podcast, if you like listening instead of looking. If you don't like neither, just open up a tab and help a brother out anyway. So, Spotify to get that music. Of course, until next time, we say thank you for watching. And from us to you, you ready to go? All right. Peace.
Jeez.
Yeah.